Hey, welcome back to the Hoist, since home of Australian music. My name's Anika, and I'm so glad you're tuning in from wherever you're tuning in from. And I'm so pumped because today, here to celebrate the release of that charming tune that we just spun, Afterthoughts, I have the pleasure of being joined by a four-piece right here from Melbourne, who after graduating at the end of last year, these dudes were high school mates, but now they've become bandmates, which is so sick. They released and received so much love for their debut single, She's said back in August of 2020, and now through collaborations with US-based producer Bradford Krieger, the boys are back with their second single, Afterthoughts, which is basically a culmination of spaced out instrumentals and soaring vocal chorus. I would like to introduce you a band of whom I'm positive that you will absolutely love after hearing their work. It's Champ Ruby. Thank you so much, guys, for sitting down and chatting today.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, she's having us.
No worries. It's actually so cool. We've got like kind of everyone's got a different kind of Zoom screen, which is really sick. So it's going to be a really interesting chat coordinating when everyone's speaking today.
Yes, I know.
Nice. Have you ever done like a Zoom like interview before?
Yeah, well, yes, I've done like lots of the interviews that we've done like on the Hoist and recently through pre-recording everything. It's all been over Zoom. So we've done a lot, but I haven't interviewed this many people on this many screens. So it's going to be really interesting.
It's like a class down here.
It is. It is. 100%, which is really cool. And I guess, well, I want to chat, get straight into our interview. So I want to chat all about your new release. Firstly, congratulations, guys, on the release of Afterthoughts. You guys must be like proud moms now that it's out in the world.
Oh, yes, very much so. I mean, we recorded it like a year ago and now it's just like so good to finally have it out. You know, after we wrote the song when we were like year 11, you know what I mean? And it's just like to finally hear it out now. It's just so great.
Yeah.
Lockdown and everything kind of like delayed it so much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's kind of like a silver lining in a way because like the time we had allowed us to make it better.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Do you feel like the track kind of evolved over time?
Yeah, for sure. You know, like we recorded a demo of it like 2 years ago. And then since now to then, like the song's a bit different, like we added in like another bridge with like vocals and stuff towards the end, plus when we're in the studio, you know, you just get, you know, the producers and that always have more input and like, you know, suggest ideas and you just try different stuff out here and there. And yeah, it always ends up changing on how you intended it to be, I guess.
Yeah,
it was more raw back in like 2019 just because we recorded off our phones as well,
and yeah,
you know, trying to compare it, you know, just sounds so much different.
Yeah. Like the mood and like atmosphere of it now is just so much different to how it was at the start. So
really, tell me more about that. What was kind of the mood and atmosphere of the track before?
You go, Dan.
Do you want me to go? All right, I'll go. Well, I just think we had limited equipment as well because we were using like SoundCloud synths, all that kind of stuff as well, and like, you know, I think just with the limited equipment we had at the start, just, you know, didn't allow us to like, you know, have it, you know, sonically sounding as it is right now. So yeah,
solid, Dan.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. And I guess like in recording the kind of newer version of the track, what did that all look like?
It was a lot more interesting actually, like, you know, like compared to how we first recorded it by ourselves. You know, we put an iPhone in the corner of the room and press record and then just put it in GarageBand, and then we just like, you know, add stuff on top of it, you know, and now you start the song from scratch, you the drums, the guitar and the bass, and you just slowly like build it up, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the whole song was basically made over the span of like 2 days.
Mm.
Like we made it all in a day and then like we came back to it like a month later. And we're like, oh, what if we just add this bit? And then, like, we just added it and that was the song done.
Yeah, because it was a very bare instrumental and we, which kind of left a lot of room to put a lot of interesting stuff in, whether it be, like tones and solos and just random stuff, like, scattered throughout the whole song.
Yeah, it was a quick song, though. Like, because some songs you take ages and it takes, like, all the time, but, like, some songs just happen.
Yeah, like, we literally had, like, pretty much like 80% of it down in like a day from when we started like jamming it.
Crazy stuff.
Yeah, wow. And I guess like that's kind of the story and the evolution of the song from a sonic kind of point of view. But from a lyrics point of view, I love like the backstory to this track because I think it's really cool. And like it's a really kind of coming of age, I guess, kind of story, which is sick. Tell me, I guess, Will, tell me a little bit more about this kind of backstory.
Well, when we first made the song, it was just an instrumental. And, you know, we never like wrote it. We never made it with an intent on like what it would be about, okay. You know? So I would just listen to the voice memo of just us playing it just as like an instrumental. And, you know, and I would kind of just like say lines here and there. And then kind of subconsciously, I kind of realized what I was singing about. And then once you realize kind of what you're singing about, it's a lot easier to write the rest of it because the rest of it just kind of comes to your head a bit more because it's a bit, you have a bit more of a vision of what you're trying to talk about.
I've got a dog chiming in as well at the same time. Love it. No, that's really interesting. So do you feel like in a way kind of the instead of you finding the lyrics kind of found you, if that makes sense, or the story kind of found you?
Yeah, for sure. Like, no, I didn't intend on writing it about that at all, and it just happened to turn out that way.
Yeah. Because I guess it was all about, I guess, a kind of breakup that you had and kind of how you were feeling. You were feeling very similar to your ex-girlfriend in the sense
that. It was more so just about reflecting, really, to summarize it.
Yeah, reflecting. And, like, I guess, what did you learn from the whole experience?
Well, I didn't realize how much I guess I didn't realize how much it was really on my mind until we actually wrote it, you know, like I didn't realize like how much I guess I had to say about what had happened or what was going on at that time.
Yeah.
How did you write songs? If like you just start singing about something, usually it's an expression of how you're feeling and it's just like, it just gets projected out. Yeah. So if you start singing about something like that, you know what I mean? And you actually realize it's kind of like a gateway to like understanding something more.
Yeah. So like we'd made the instrumental, right? And I had this stuff going on, like, and I forget what it was, but something made me like actually call up this person and talk to them about what had happened like a year ago or something. You know what I mean?
Mm.
And just having like that real fresh in my head. Like, you know, after like not really talking or seeing this person for a while was really interesting. And I don't know. And like after like a year of time as well, you kind of have a lot to say to someone, you know what I mean, who you used to be really, really close with.
Mm.
So, yeah, I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah, it's a trip. I feel like, yeah, it's almost a way of, I guess, like the song almost sounds like it was a way of consolidating how you were feeling and then you were able to, I guess, as you said, reflect and then come back to, like, that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, really interesting. And, like, I guess the rest of the band members, have you guys kind of learned from Will's experiences or have you guys taken, I guess, yeah, taken this as, like, a learning curve or taken anything out of it?
What do you have to say, Dan?
We just took what Will's meaning like of the song is and just made it to something beautiful, into a beautiful song, you know. But yeah, it's more just like, I don't know, like for the drums you just kind of sit back and you let the melody sort of, you know, do the thing. Like I feel like it's a very melodic driven song rather than like drums, like Shay said.
Yeah,
you know. So I kind of just, it kind of just started with Dan's idea in the guitar, you know. So and then, yeah, how did you even make that, Dan, like that rhythm?
I think I was just
The Smiths.
I liked the – oh, yeah, I was listening to a lot of Johnny Marr from The Smiths and there's, like, the way he, like, plays major seven chords. Like, that was a big inspiration. But I really liked just, like, the really steady strumming I was doing because, like
– like all the downstrokes and stuff.
All the downstrokes. It just, like – because it's a kind of like happy sounding kind of chord. So the way I was strumming it, it kind of just like had this ringing out of like this kind of like, you know, nice melodic sound. And then this the second chord I play, I add like a new bass note to it, which just like, yeah, adds a bit more, I don't know, a bit more it's a bit more interesting. So yeah, a bit more depth. Yeah.
Well, literally just started off as a jam. You know what I mean? Like Dan literally just started strumming those chords. I was like, hey, just playing it just out of nowhere, like out of thin air.
I can't remember well. Yeah, like none of us were even speaking to each other. I kind of just started playing. Everyone kind of swooped around, was doing their own thing. It was just one of those. I think all bands have moments like that. When like
Sitting around after you've done a song and you're just like fiddling around in your guitar, and then like
something just happens. You know, everyone kind of just clicks, and that was definitely one of those moments.
Mm. Afterthoughts is also one of our most collaborative songs as well. Like, there's so many parts where like. For example, like with the lead and the bass, like Will started the lead and I started the bass, but then
we swapped.
And we swapped halfway through, and then I like played the lead and he played the bass, and then like for certain bits, like Dan would like create like this section, and then someone would reference a chord, and then
because it came out of a jam, and it wasn't like one of us had already had like a preconceived idea of something, you know what I mean? It really just came out of a jam, like the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I guess like just on that kind of collaborative process, you guys teamed up with US producer Bradford Krager. How did this all come about?
Yeah, he was a producer who had produced one of my favorite bands, which I found maybe like two, three years ago.
Yeah.
And like I'd always like really admired his style of production. Like he has a really raw but like clean style of production.
Yeah.
And like I remember because we recorded the song and like we weren't really happy with how the mix was going, and we're trying to find like other people like to mix it like locally and stuff, because I guess like I don't know, in when you're in our situation you don't really think about like how there could be like people like all around the world who mix and stuff. Like, you kind of just like in this mindset, we're like, oh, you got to think locally. Like, who do I know who could do this?
Yeah. And like, also on that, like, different producers have different styles as well. Mm. So when you have a vision for a song, like, some producers may be good, but stylistically, they have their own like styles as well. Mm. So sometimes, like, we felt with Bradford, like, his style like complemented the song really well.
Yeah, it's less of like a rocky style and more of like a shoegazy kind of dreamy sound, which really suits the song in my opinion.
Yeah. Is this what you guys had envisioned for the track, I guess?
Yeah, we knew that it was going to be a lot different compared to She Said, you know, like from the get-go, you know, like we didn't want to treat it as like a rock song, you know, this time. So it was a lot more like room for creativity, a lot more experimental, and we just kind of just tested it out more with like which tones and stuff we're using. It was just a lot more room for creativity, I guess.
Yeah.
Another thing with the producer, like, so we knew about this band for ages, right? But I never knew who had done it. I never knew who had, like, actually produced them.
Yeah.
And then one day, I think I was, like, trying to read up about one of their songs, and, like, it was, like, a Genius article or something. And then down the very bottom, it had, like, the producer named Bradford Krager. And I was like, oh, shit, is this that guy who did it? And, like, so I sent him an email, like, thinking, like, oh, he probably won't reply back to me. Like, it's probably just, like, nothing. And then he replied back to us in, like, 3 days, and we, like, began chatting. And, yeah, one thing led to another.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to ask, like, how did it all come about? That's really cool. So you just kind of took, like, stab in the dark, and then it kind of – that's how it all eventuated.
Yeah, for real. It was a total stab in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I love that. And I guess like that's one of the kind of beautiful things about, I guess, the online space, because is he currently based in the US at the moment?
Yeah, I think he's from Boston, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, awesome. So like how did you guys go about, I guess, collaborating? Like was it in an online kind of setting, or how did that process look like?
Well, first we just sent him a couple of emails kind of like talking about how we really admire the style and sound of his mixes that he's done. And, you know, we just talked like reference tracks and stuff, like to kind of like as we like just songs that we really liked the style of, which we thought would be good on Afterthoughts. And, you know, we discussed like prices and stuff, and we're like, oh, this should work. And
the thing is, Bradford is also like such like a hardworking producer as well. So like we would give him notes, and within like, and this is like US times as well, by the time we'd wake up, or like within like 12 hours, like he would have a new mix ready. Like he was like, he cared about like the songs, and like he had like a worth ethic, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like really good.
Like all up, the mixing process only really took maybe like 3 to 4 weeks, in my opinion, I think.
Yeah, it was about that.
No, I guess it goes to show when you guys share like a passion for something, it's a really good kind of, you have a good synergy, which is obviously shown like through your band as well, but also with Bradford.
Like, with the other producer that we tried to get to mix the song, we would literally show his songs, not knowing that it was like, not knowing who he was, being like, try make it sound like this. And when it's like the guy who like you want it to sound like, you know what I mean? It was just, it was so much easier.
Why try and imitate when you can get the actual thing?
Exactly.
In a way, I thought it was too good to be true that when Will told me, like, yo, Bradford just, like, got back to us, you know? Like, the guy who made, like, Horse Jumper of Love's stuff, you know? Like, we absolutely, like, frothed his mixes, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, you know? I didn't believe him at first. And then, you know, you check the email, it's actually him, you know? Sick.
Yeah, no, definitely. It sounds, it's like massive. I think when things like that happen, it's really cool stuff, especially when you don't, when you least expect it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, awesome.
And like, Well, and I guess just on that, I want to chat a little bit about, I guess, it's like speaking of big things, I want to chat a little bit about like you guys signing with Ecstatic Management as well. Because I guess it's a boutique music and entertainment management company based in Melbourne, and it's headed by Nathan Gunn, who's an absolute legend. And he's a young person like us. He graduated last year, which is really cool. But how did this all come about? You guys have been doing so many collabs recently.
So I'd actually like, cause we all like live in the same like area locally. So we'd all kind of like known Nathan, but in one of, the first bands that I joined, Nathan was actually the lead singer at one point. And then this was before he was in Dover Island. And then I'd managed to say I'm going to close. And then I did work at, New Slang, which is at the art center for a bit. We worked together in that. And then like, during that time, Champion restarted and Nathan started his thing. And because Nathan was like hard working within the industry and he wanted to like, you know, do stuff more, we just thought it'd be a good opportunity to like work with him because like one, we're mates, it's not just working with a stranger, but it's also like, how would you say it?
Like, I don't know. It's just the fact that he's someone who's actually really passionate about music, someone who's like our age, you know what I mean? Graduated last year, like kind of knows like how we're feeling and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's someone we also like already had trust with before this whole thing, so that also helped.
Definitely. I think building those kinds of when you don't know people, I think it can be a scary step to take within the industry, because you always hear of like horror stories and stuff like that of artists being poorly managed and stuff like that, so it feels like a kind of secure step, if that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure.
Nathan is like our friend first, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's just like a guy who does management, like, you get what I mean? Like, it's different.
Yeah, I can see him outside of just catching up for like band meetings and stuff, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
And it creates a different energy as well when you can actually connect with someone versus like when it's purely business orientated, you think differently, you don't feel the same. But when you have that friendship, you can like talk and you can be honest more.
Yeah, exactly. No, and it's so cool. And I think, as you kind of said before, like the fact that you guys are all young people kind of working with each other, it's so important to support like young people like in the industry. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We're all young people. We need to support each other. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Especially the last 2 years we've had with music in Australia and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. And actually, I wanted to touch a bit on that because you've played a few gigs throughout the year, which is really exciting. How's it felt, I guess, playing back recently? You played a few weeks ago with Ramona Skye, which looked absolutely sick. But, yeah, how does it feel to, like, be on the stage looking out at your audience absolutely going off?
Yeah, well, it's something you tend to miss more and more the less you do it. You know what I mean? Like, we've had to cancel, like, countless amounts of shows, like, last year and this year. You know what I mean? And it's almost too good to be true when you actually do get to do a show sometimes. And it's just, it's great. You know, there's no better feeling than playing live and just jumping around in a room with a bunch of other sweaty kids. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. No, 100%. And I think that's all, like, it's all part of it being, I guess, being emerging throughout this kind of COVID period. I feel like that's one of the challenges that young and, like, emerging artists and, like, bands have had to face. Have you guys, have you found that, like, a really kind of instrumental part, like, challenge, I guess, emerging from this kind of lockdown period?
Oh, yeah. I mean, both songs were released in lockdowns, which is so weird to think about, you know what I mean?
Like, we were supposed to have our single launch.
Launch was meant to be last weekend, actually. We planned it for the 31st and then had to postpone it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What's it called? Like, lockdown is also, like, it's also been a benefit in a way for us, because it also gave us the opportunity to assess ourselves, you know, like how we look on like media.
It makes you on the other things that you can't do.
Yeah. Like instead of like spending time gigging and stuff, you know, you look at your image, it leaves more room for songwriting sort of like material right there, you know? So you kind of just like, you kind of just work your way around it and trying to see the benefits from it, you know? And then like when lockdown ends, that's when you start doing like more live performances and stuff again, you know? But I just try to see the benefit out of it, you know?
Yeah, it just forces you to work on the things. It just forces you to work on other things that you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I guess it's throughout this lockdown period, you guys have been really knuckling down on like your image and your sound and all that kind of thing.
Yeah, for sure.
The amount of like time we've put into it, like lockdown has been bad in certain areas, but if we didn't have the lockdown, we wouldn't have progressed in the way we have. So, like, you can say it's bad, you can say it's good, but it all depends on, like, how you grow and what you focus on.
Yeah. What would you say, I guess, your main kind of, like, goal and, like, kind of what has been your main focus for the past year? Have you guys been setting goals or anything like that?
I guess so. I mean, our main goal at the moment, I think, is to try hopefully get an EP out maybe by the end of this year or start of summer. I think, because you know, we've had to postpone recording and stuff as well. Like, actually, when we first went to record, she said we went to the studio. We were booked in for three or four days. And we're meant to record three songs, and the day after we got there, it was announced that suburb was going into lockdown. So we had to rush to do one song in that night. You know what I mean?
We woke up at like 10 a.m. and they're like, "You have until midnight." Like, you can either now or wait. So we just got like one song done.
Yeah. So it's just been difficult trying to find places and time to record, I guess. You know what I mean?
Like, she said was record, like the whole song was done in one day. And by the end of it, we were just like...
We were knackered.
When you go like 12, like
14. We didn't jam for like a week after that.
Yeah.
I love that. Well, you guys sound like a band who kind of creates their songs in a very short period of time, if that makes sense, though. Like, I feel like you thrive off that. Do you feel?
I find that the more time you spend like dwelling on a song, it doesn't turn out as good. You know what I mean? Like, if an idea comes to us, we usually try like get it all on that day. You know, other than like a few things like lyrics and like the melody and stuff, the vibe of the song would most likely come to us in like a day.
The thing is as well, like, sometimes songs do need extra time, but then it gets to the argument of intellect versus like feel and emotion.
Yeah.
Like, you can sometimes like obsess over a song, but then you just get too intellectual and it loses that like feeling that it has.
So. Yeah, you just overthink it and takes away from it, I guess.
So it's like, it depends on the case, but it's like an easy trap to fall into. So sometimes the first stuff is the best, just because of the feel.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think sometimes, like, I've chatted to a few other artists, and we've spoken about like that kind of lockdown period. And I think sometimes like a song might be, you might create at a particular time and it reflects that time. And then like the more when you release it, because you're releasing it after such a long period of time, you're no longer in that headspace or no longer in that frame of mind.
Yeah, for sure. Like with Afterthoughts, it was written like 2 years ago. And then like, when we got asked questions about it for the Rolling Stone thing a couple of weeks ago, I like not had forgotten, but like, I don't know. It had been like a long time since I'd actually thought about what it was about. And I had to actually like think about some stuff. And I was like, what was I thinking about when I wrote that line? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when we recorded, She Said, like Afterthoughts could have been recorded at the same time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And that was a year ago. It was like, ages ago.
We could have put out Afterthoughts like, if the release had gone to plan, it would have come out like 2 to 3 months after She Said.
Yeah.
It would have been like different, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So in a way, COVID helped because it gave us that time. We got to meet Bradford, you know what I mean? But
yeah.
like, yeah, like it, it's an old song.
Yeah, no, which is really cool. And I think like everything happens for a reason. So it just goes to show, which is really sick. But I guess speaking of She Said, we're going to get straight into that track now, which is really cool. But before we get into that, I guess, boys, where can people find you on your socials if they want to find you?
At Champruby Band on Instagram, I believe.
And Champruby on Facebook.
Yeah, and Champruby on Spotify. That's
we actually got a Twitter as well. We got a Twitter. Did you know that?
We have a Twitter.
Yeah, we got a apparently Nathan like organized some sort of Twitter for us. So I guess Twitter.
That stuff. Nathan's a smart
man. We pretty much have everything but MySpace.
No, we got TikTok. Oh, we got TikTok as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, literally everything was MySpace.
Yeah.
Maybe MySpace is like where it's at next. Maybe that's a
MySpace.
LinkedIn Champruby.
yeah. What's this?
Oh, thing? No, there's also our mailing list, champruby.com as well.
Yeah, we have a website now.
So, yeah.
Okay, awesome. So you guys can be found anywhere, type up Champruby, all platforms except for MySpace. And we're expecting a
little bit of MySpace. Well.
We don't have a Kick account.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we need a Champruby Kick. Yeah, good on that.
I love that. Okay, so what's this space for Kick and MySpace?
Oh, yeah, it's just that's what we're doing this lockdown. We're working out MySpace.
That's the next thing you guys are focusing on. We love to hear it. Awesome. Well, awesome. That's where you can find Champruby. And if you want to find The Hoist, head to at The Hoist Sin. We don't have as many social media platforms, but we do have TikTok. We don't have Kick, and we don't have MySpace either. But we do have quite a few social media platforms. So check out The Hoist Sin, SYN, to catch up on this interview and catch the freshest Oz music content. But hey, we were chatting about it before. We're going to get straight into this next track, She Said, which is Champruby's debut single released in August of 2020. And I guess it was written about the difficulties of a long distance relationship. And I guess this track just sets the tone from the beginning. Just quickly, Will, you're usually on the vocals. What do you want people to take out of the lyrics of this track?
Well, I pretty much wrote all the lyrics with Damo for this song. So I'll let Damo take that question.
I want people to feel the grief of a long distance relationship.
Amazing. And I guess, Damien, you were also on the drums. Drums, what energy do you want people to take from this track?
Oh, furious, man. I was furious, you know, from the drums. But yeah, I was just vibing, man. Just think vibing on the drums.
Love it. And I guess boys who are on like the bass and on the guitars, melodically, what do you guys want listeners to kind of appreciate from this track?
I know, man, feel with it and connect with it how it connects with you.
Yeah, and if you see it live, jump around to it with us.
It's got some raw energy to it, so, you know, driving guitars. Yeah.
Amazing. Well, when I listen to this track, it's a track that I feel like it is. Like, I'm listening to it live when I'm listening to it through streaming services, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it feels like a live song, yeah.
It does, which is really sick. But, hey, we've come to the end of our interview. Thank you so much for chatting today, guys. Always love chatting and connecting with, like, young people.
Yeah, no, she's for having us.
Awesome.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
No worries. You're really cool and love your work. And I guess that was like the awesome Champruby. Definitely get around them on all platforms, which we touched on before. But my name's Anika, and thank you so much for tuning in, either live or on your streaming services. This was The Hoist. This is Sin's Australian Music Show, and we're going to send this interview off with an absolute banger. This is She Said by Champruby. Let's go. Thank you so much.